fields of bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Hi, this is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news.
And I'm Dan Dugan, the other guy on the other side. WGRN, the Green Renaissance.
This is Bob Petrakis bringing you the other side of the news. And two newsmakers in the studio, Carolyn Harding and Bill Lyons, with the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. Why don't you remind the listeners, since this is part two, what the Columbus Community Bill of Rights is, Carolyn?
It is a citizen-led ballot initiative that would give Columbus citizens an ordinance for the city of Columbus to protect our water, air, and soil from frack waste, frack drilling, frack infrastructure. Most folks don't realize there are 13 active injection wells already in the Columbus area watershed, and if this contaminates our water, it is terribly dangerous for us and for our children.
What would you add to that, Bill?
Yeah, that it's a rights-based initiative, that it says that we have the inalienable right to clean water, clean air, safe soil, and the right of democracy, the right of local self-government to say no to harmful waste in our community.
And that idea that people have a right, particularly when it comes to clean air, clean water, really what historically were zoning issues, historically you could keep people from essentially poisoning your water in air. They were restricted as to where they could operate. What happened to that right?
Well, in 2004, state lawmakers legislated, gave away our home rule of oil and gas industry and gave it to ODNR. So local folks lost their local control about issues that had to do with oil and gas industry. So basically, we have been taken away our rights to do anything to protect our community.
But isn't it true, Bill, that new rights were given to unnatural people, legal fictions, and that was done statewide by the Ohio legislative branch, correct?
Well, yes, we know that, well, first of all, corporate privileges, we don't like to say rights, but yeah, they have been granted these things because they're lobbying to our legislature that passed this law in 2004, and it was largely given to them by an organization called ALEC, funded by the Koch brothers. So.
Very wealthy people who made a fortune of oil and gas and other things, but again, these non-human entities, these corporations that used to be heavily regulated as to their size and how much money they could actually do by their charter. And when they used to step outside those charters, they were ultra virus and were reined in. But now it looks like they pretty much have free rein to do whatever they want, even if local people don't want that type of oil and gas polluting their air and the water.
Right. For us, in Columbus, they're not fracking. There's no drill derricks in Columbus. But we are getting our injection wells, which are basically old, abandoned vertical oil wells in farm fields.
So they got these old wells, you know, the big oil boom of the 1920s, Standard Oil, the Rockefellers. You got all these old well sites that went straight down. And really, they weren't designed to hold radioactive, toxic fracking water, were they?
No, they're not. There's no holding tank in the bottom of these old wells, and they're on farm fields, and farmers can lease this land, and ODNR makes money on each gallon that they inject into these farm fields, and the landowners make some money too. But what's happening is this frack wastewater doesn't stay there. It moves. It migrates. It leaks. it gets into our water supply and into our potentially into our water aquifers and into Columbus area watershed.
So when we think about this, other states bring their wastewater here as well?
Yes, Pennsylvania and West Virginia bring most of their waste to Ohio. So, you know, what's the saying of Ohio?
the waste dump of it all.
Waste dump of it all is what it's become.
The toxic stew in the heart of it.
There's billions of gallons that have already been, poured into injection wells, and there's more coming. And we have such lax laws here in Ohio.
And what is the Columbus Community Bill of Rights trying to do? I notice you have a petition.
Yes. We need to get 9,000 valid Columbus signatures on this petition.
And these are people that live in the city of Columbus?
Right. You have to be a city of Columbus voter. You can work on it. Like, I'm not from the city of Columbus.
But you can circulate the petition.
But I can circulate the petition. You have to be an Ohio resident to circulate the petition. And so we've been going to all these large events, rallies, festivals. We go to people's synagogues, churches, and present to their communities and get signatures there. And we have a website where people can reach out to us and say, hey, I'm interested in having you come and talk to our people, and we'll give you signatures. This is what we have to do, and we're doing quite well, actually, but we have 6 more weeks, and we have a couple thousand more that we need to get to make sure that we have the valid 9,000 signatures.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One thing that this is our third campaign, so we want this to be it, because we've come within 1,000 valid signatures before. So we are further along this time, but we know that there's still quite a few to get in our next 6 weeks. But I think with some help, we'll get there this time so people can actually vote on this in November.
That would be good. And partly what they're voting on is whether they want to be poisoned. Mm-hmm. So when these laws get passed, it seems quite odd that you can take known carcinogenics and put them in people's water or air. And what are we talking about here? What type of chemicals?
Well, in the frack process, the chemicals are carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, which are sex hormone scramblers, and neurotoxins, which affect the way people's minds work. But then also the shale where they frack itself is radioactive with radium-226 and 228, which is slow-acting, bone-seeking radionuclides that cause leukemia, breast cancer, bone cancer. And all of this this stew of poisons is in the liquid frack waste. So when they frack a well, they put millions of gallons of fresh water, mix it with all these toxic chemicals, fracture the well, and then a lot of this water comes back up, and it's so toxic they have to get rid of it, quote, safely, unquote. Mm-hmm. And so they put them in these injection wells, and that's what we're getting in Central Ohio and Columbus. They're fracking on the eastern part of Ohio, and they have all the and they're bringing that frack waste to us.
And one other thing, that also salt is in that, but of course they just take that part and call it brine.
So right. They're fracturing the bedrock, and I've seen reports saying one of the best ways to look for this really dirty, filthy, old oil, and particularly oil and gas that historically was left alone. It wasn't worth the cost, right? Because you have to go so deep, is one of the best ways is to find radioactive matter, because that tells you where the decaying oil and gas is. Is that correct?
Correct. They send out probe down, and they're looking for the hottest area of the shale, and that's where they frack, the hottest, most radioactive area. Mm-hmm. So this liquid frack waste, and we also are in danger of getting the solid frack waste, which are the drill cuttings. When they drill for a frack well, they drill down vertical, then they drill horizontal through the shale. Those are called the vertical leg and the horizontal leg for a mile, miles.
Yeah, some of them are 5 miles.
So all this dirt and soil that comes back up is called drill cuttings. Well, a couple years ago at the state house, the lawmakers redefined what drill cuttings were. They used to be called TNORM, which is technically enhanced naturally occurring radioactive material, but they redefined it to become NORM, naturally occurring radioactive material. That means that drill cutting, this matter, doesn't have to be regulated for radioactivity.
Well, you'd think the norm would be it came to the surface on its own, that you wouldn't massive equipment and
really
700
normal.
Toxic substances to go dig the stuff out and go, wow, that's pretty normal. We just got a bunch of radioactive toxic stew at 4,000 feet under a lake.
And it's been ground up. And then they want to make it, they've made it legal to use that solid frac waste on municipal landfills. And this stuff is highly, the radium is highly water soluble. So not good.
Yeah,
not good
we talked a little about that last time, and they were using Geiger counters, which don't detect the radium. I mean, that's for the gamma rays. So they were using the completely wrong test. Mm-hmm. To detect whether there was any radioactive matters. And I know your group was able to spell out we needed a 21-day off-gassing. Mm-hmm. We needed to use the actual scientific test. But didn't they also put the Department of Natural Resources in charge of regulating this industry to some extent?
Yes, the Ohio Department of Natural Resources. Well,
you got to admit they're good at deer tagging.
Yes, they're good at that.
Which means they're probably good scientists.
I don't think they're fracking experts.
Well, I mean, it looks like the state, every time people that looked at this scientifically, be it the Ohio Health Department or EPA, it seemed like they were removed from the process.
Well, you know, with this administration, fracking has just come on in a very, very big way. And they've, you know, the Ohio...
Well, particularly since he canceled all the solar and the particularly the wind projects that were coming forward. Wind energy would have come on a massive scale, too, had you invested in it.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And the whole state house, full of legislators, most of them are pro-fracking and don't care at all about the environment at all. And but what I'm going to go back to is in Kasich's his administration in Jobs, Ohio, they are putting billions of dollars towards frack infrastructure from our liquor tax money. Mm-hmm. And you know, and people don't even realize that.
Yeah, well, it seems to work together. It's as the carcinogenics and the cancer rates become higher. People take to drinking. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Drink more, and they'll get more money for fracking.
Yeah.
Oh, a perfect synergetic effect there. I'm talking with Carolyn Harding and Bill Lyons, two co-organizers of the Columbus Community Bill of Rights. And you're listening to WGRN 94.1. This is Bob Fitrakis bringing you the other side of the news. So what are your plans in this last 6 weeks? What are you going to be out doing? How can people get a hold of you, contact you? Mm-hmm. Are there websites?
Yes, we have a website. It's columbusbillofrights.org. They can contact us by email at columbusbillofrights@gmail.com. But it would be better if they came and saw us, first of all, can help sign the petition. Since this is our third campaign, some people might say they've already signed, but we have to ask them, have you signed since last July after ComFest? Because that's when we restarted our current campaign. And if you're not 100% sure, sign again just to make sure.
And there's an opportunity this Monday. Mm-hmm. We're going to have new volunteer gathering, but also a place where people can sign the petition. It's going to be at Whetstone Library at 7:30 to 9. It's 3909 North High Street. And anybody that's interested in helping us, come to that meeting. It'll be short for you. We'll give you a short training, get you geared up to help get petitions. And if you just want to sign the petition, that's a good place. Mm-hmm. And Bill, why don't you tell them a couple of the other
What was the date on that for the listeners?
Yeah, May 21st, this coming Monday,
yes.
Actually, 7:30 to 9. So that would be great. Now, one other thing is, like Carolyn said, signing is great, but if you're able to take a petition and help us, even if it's with your circle of family, friends, neighbors, workmates who are registered Columbus voters, those would be easy to get. The more people we have, the easier it will be to get our signatures. But other events coming up, we will be at the Asian Festival, which is Saturday and Sunday, May 26th and 27th. We will also be at the African American Cultural Festival in the King Lincoln District on June 2nd. That goes from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And then we will be at the Columbus Arts Festival. That will be at the riverfront, and that's going to be Friday through Sunday, June 8th through 10th. So you'll see our volunteers with our blue T-shirts with our sun on it that says, Yes, Columbus Community Bill of Rights. And the last events are the Columbus Community Pride, which is Back to Our Roots, which is going to be at the Mamie Moore Park, which is behind the King, the Martin Luther King Center. That is June 2nd.
16th.
June 16th. June 16th from 11 to 7 p.m. And also at ComFest, we will be at ComFest, and that's our last opportunity to sign. If you haven't signed, we will have a booth there June 22nd to 24th, Friday through Sunday. Please help us get this on the ballot so you can vote on it.
Another thing is we've been to many churches and synagogues with in areas that are Columbus voters to talk about this issue because it is a moral issue. Mm-hmm. It's about being a good steward for the natural resources that we have. And if your church is interested in having us do a short, like 5-10 minute just introduction of this, and then we can wait till the end of the service to get signatures, please contact us at columbusbillofrights@gmail.com.
Yeah, just one more thing about also the morality of it is how can we poison this planet for future generations too? So that's the thing that hits home. And but people who know about fracking, almost everybody that we approach will sign our petition. But those who don't, when they understand the issue and we say that this is also a moral issue, that it even adds more reason to sign.
And on top of that is we don't want another Flint. People know what happened to Flint and how their water was tainted in a very insidious way. Well, this is very, very possible to happen to Columbus water in a very out of sight, out of mind way. These injection wells look like old abandoned farm fields. And so so people need to wake up and they need to take proactive steps and help us get this on the Columbus law, to make it an ordinance, a law in Columbus that would protect our water, air, and soil for now and for future generations. We really would love to help you help us. Come to the meeting on this coming Monday at Whetstone Library from 7:30 to 9, and you don't have to be there the whole time. Just come for when you can be there. And what date is that again? That's
May 21st.
May 21st.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the Asian Festival is at Franklin Park still?
Yes, Franklin Park, yes. Mm. Uh-huh.
So that's another good place where people can hook up with your organization.
Mm-hmm.
Now, legally, how is this going to work? I mean, if the people stand up and assert that they have a right to clean air and clean water, has this been done elsewhere?
Yes, communities like in Ohio, just taking Ohio, have passed community bills of rights. Athens, Broadview Heights, Yellow Springs, Oberlin, and
Mansfield.
Mansfield and Waterville, I think, is the other one. And also outside of Ohio, Pittsburgh. You know, they were going to frack in the largest graveyard in Pittsburgh, actually frack there. The city council in 2010 adopted a community bill of rights, and they prevented fracking from happening in Pittsburgh.
So if this goes through, it doesn't mean that's law. There'll be an initiative. There'll be a vote on it.
Yes. If we get the signatures in, the valid number, 9,000 valid, Then it'll have to go to the Board of Elections first.
Right. They validate the signatures, and then once we have the signatures, which we are confident with all the efforts, but we need everybody to help us this time, so we don't have to think about doing this again. It requires a lot of work. Then it will go as a city ordinance to city council. They have 30 days to decide whether they want to adopt it or not. If they don't adopt
it. Is that a possibility? I can't imagine anyone being, unless you're heavily involved in the corporate oil and gas industry, seem like a city council as much as a state legislature.
Well, this is my perspective, and Bill can weigh in on this one. We have reached out to the city council members, and several of them have taken a tour mm-hmm. where these injection wells are. Mm-hmm. And they see the concern, but they haven't adopted this ordinance. And I mm-hmm. believe that if a city council member is terribly, what's the word? Well, if they want
their career,
if they're worried about their career, because the state does have jurisdiction. So if the city council adopts it, they are going to get pushback from the state.
So sure, there's also something called severability. If courts rule that mm-hmm. certain parts don't go forward, the other parts do. And it's also a clear resolution of settlement, which I think bespeaks to the fact that quit poisoning us with radioactive toxic stew.
Right.
Our families, our neighbors, our kids, yeah. our communities have a right not to drink, toxic, polluted water. So, what are they going to sit around? Do your job. They were elected by the people of Columbus. This is my perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not yours, but, you're elected, you go forward. Mm-hmm. Things get played out legally all the time,
One thing I'd add to that is perhaps they're afraid that Columbus might get sued. Well, we don't know. It may happen. Yeah. Pittsburgh hasn't been sued.
Yeah, it gets sued all the time.
But we feel this is something worth fighting for our clean water, air, and soil.
And
is
maybe
not worth
they won't
it.
Get
what
sued
is?
Like Pittsburgh.
Right.
Maybe you'll take a principled stance and the principle will hold. We're talking to Carolyn Harding and Bill Lyons of the Columbus Community Bill of Rights, which are trying to promote as a right here in Columbus the right to clean air and clean water. Mm-hmm. So this debate is an interesting one because, again, in my perspective, these are long-standing rights that the community, through a democratic process, has a right to determine what people can put in their water and air. It's almost hard for me to believe that if someone's injecting radioactive, radium 226, 228, and all sorts of toxic carcinogenic chemicals into the groundwater, which inevitably leaks, that you can't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feel that it's immoral. It's wrong, naturally.
It's undemocratic.
It's undemocratic, too. And so we take, as the community rights movement, which we're part of, communities that are resisting and fighting back to take initiative and write their own laws, as our models, the models from the civil rights movement, the suffragette movement, the abolitionist movement, whereas there were laws that said it was okay to have slaves. There were laws at the time that said that women couldn't vote. There were laws to say that African Americans were denied rights, but that didn't stop people from resisting until the change was driven upward at the ground from grassroots activists.
And I want to just add about the home rule issue, because, after the election, we've had the whole Parkland, Florida massacre about gun rule and gun rights and home rule. And home rule was taken away from Ohio regarding guns. Mm-hmm. And now the City Council of Columbus has initiated their own, almost fight back about mm-hmm. that. And so why don't you talk about that a little bit, Bill?
Yeah, just recently you may have seen that it's Columbus and other cities are saying, hey, let's try to enact some laws that we feel will help our communities be a little bit safer when it comes to the gun issue. And they realize they might get challenged. They might get sued by the state because the state is trying more and more to preempt local communities. And they currently have a House Bill 228 that hasn't been passed, but it's been introduced. And it would further try to limit local communities. And let me quote something that Zach Klein, who is the current city attorney, said. Having the state legislature step in and continually erode our ability to make decisions for what's best for us undermines the principles of representative democracy and the goals we all seek in trying to do the right thing and legislating and protecting our communities, whether that's on the river in Southeast Ohio, here in Columbus, or up near the lake in Cleveland and Toledo. Well, we are trying to do the same thing, and if the city council is willing to fight for that, we think clean water and clean air is willing to be they should be willing to fight for that too.
And we have a good quote, don't we?
Yes, and I think the people in Toledo are down with you on this clean water issue, is since they've got that large toxic.
There actually is a Lake Erie Bill of Rights that they're working on with the community rights movement. A Lake Erie Bill of Rights. So this is where people have woken up and seen that we don't have the rights that we deserve as people of this community to protect our natural resources.
The right to poison, it's nowhere in the Constitution, actually.
No, are we the corporation?
I thought that was called a tort. I thought when somebody came and poisoned you. But again, this process seems to redefine and say, oh, these core drillings, they would be useful to take the contaminated radioactive stuff and cap a landfill. But I mean, they're just spreading, are they not?
Yes.
Contaminating carcinogenic material.
Yeah, they even are legalizing the ancient seawater brine, which is full of radioactive and all these chemicals.
Which is misleading because you're thinking, ooh, salt water, maybe I'll put some of that in my bath. But it's more than brine, is it not?
Yeah, it's full of we know radionuclides, and that's a real issue going on right now at the State House. That all people that are concerned citizens all over Ohio are working against that they making that legal. But we want to bring it back to the Columbus area because this is something the Columbus citizens can do to protect our water, air, and soil. Is pass the Columbus Community Bill of Rights.
There's one quote that I think defines a lot of these issues. Is like, who has the right to decide? Should it be the people who live in the communities for issues of their health, safety, or welfare? Or should it be other interests who live outside who are greatly influenced by, you know, corporations who donate money to their campaigns?
Quickly, we got a minute left. How can they get a hold of you again? What's that website?
ColumbusBillOfRights.org or ColumbusBillOfRights@gmail.com. Mm-hmm.
Any last thoughts to the listeners, Bill?
Well, we think that it's time to take a stand with what's happening not only statewide but also across this country. We look at how the EPA is eroding things day by day, and local communities have to take it within their own hands to change things.
It's up to us. That's what I have to say. Get out of your comfort zone. Get off your couch. Come help us. It is up to us.
Stand up, fight back, or they'll poison you. Let the community rule. Democracy for all the people, not just these legal fictions known as corporations. Peace. Thanks for being on the show.
All right.
Thanks for listening to The Other Side of the News. This is Bob Fitrakis.
And Dan Dugan, WGRN 94.1 LPFM, The Green Renaissance.